Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have DDJ Myers, Mr. Peter Myers, talking about prepping a CEO to lead your credit union. So check it out. Your firm is like on the cusp of one of the biggest topics going on in the credit union industry right now, and it's the mass exodus of CEOs retiring in credit union land, and then the influx of new executives coming into the, you guys are right in the mix. And so that's why I like having you guys on, because you guys are full of information, full of stats, and just cool stuff. So welcome back to the show about this.
Thank you. It's so timely, too. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, even just this morning, spent an hour on the phone with a CEO of a very large credit union who's talking about retiring in, we'll call it 15, 16 months. And it's a very important topic today for his credit union, for example, for the industry, and I'll say the economy too. I'm doing a presentation here in a month for NAFCU's Management Leadership Institute, doing some research on, what's the opportunity for the next generation? And I'm calling the next generation everyone that's not retiring, okay?
And it's
astounding, that every day there's 10,000 people that turn 65 years old. Every single day, 10,000 people in the U.S.
That's mind-blowing, yeah.
It's just like, psh, whoa. And in the stats, the Census Bureau, what they're saying is that from 2010, there was about 12-13% of people were over 65 years old. So if we can just say, for a rough estimate, we'll call that retirement age. Over the next 15 years, so now it's only, that was 20 years. Now it's going to be 2030, 15 years. It's going to go from 12-13% to 20%. Cool. 20% of the U.S. population is going to be over 65 years old. That's just astounding. Astounding.
Yeah, I also read an article not too long ago about what a strain it'll put on the Social Security system. I mean, like, there's anything left of the Social Security system. Oh, but anyway, the strain, and that they're thinking about upping the age to like 70 or something like that, or 72. Because people are living longer.
And they're living longer, they're healthy, and they need more money, right?
And they're living out their retirement. You know, they're living beyond their retirement. So, I mean, there's all sorts of crazy things going on with as we remain healthy and live longer. There's... got to make some adjustments.
And the people today that are retiring, what never crossed their mind and now is becoming front and center for people my age is, what's the economy going to be doing in 15, 30 years when we have all this mass exodus of people not working, earning whatever they're earning, not spending whatever they're spending today? I mean, the economy is going to be very different in 20, 30 years than it is today. And the way that, I'm an opportunist. I'm an opportunist. And I look at that and I go, wow, that's something for this generation. That's something for this generation, as I said, everyone that's now retiring, for them to do something, to really make something of themselves, to really get ahead of the curve, plan for this. Their careers, the organization, become much more strategic oriented.
Which brings us to the credit, which brings us full circle to the credit union industry, because we're already experiencing a mass exodus of CEOs retiring. But that, like you said, this presents new opportunities for the next generation of leaders. I mean, so what can, let's take it from the from those folks' perspective, the new leaders coming in. What can they do to prepare for coming into the credit union industry and leading us, for another 20, 30 years?
Let me start with a kind of a premise there. There's a study done on goal setting, and it was by Gail Matthews at Dominican University in California, and she looked at what are the success factors or what's required to make goal setting more realistic and more, I'll say, what's to make it more likely to fulfill on the goals. First off, is declare what is the goal. Where do you want to go over the next 5 to 10 years, right? And you can ask people that, and they'll say, well, yeah, no, I know where I want to go. But if you drill into the details, it becomes more ambiguous. So I'm going to say, be more specific. Okay. Where do you want to be in your career 5 years? Let's just start with that.
Sure.
The second piece is to write it down. Literally, just taking the idea from here to writing it on paper increases the likelihood of fulfilling on your goals. So those New Year's resolutions that everyone does or they don't do, if you write it down, you're more likely to fulfill on it.
Yeah, it becomes a reality almost.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The third piece is to put some action statements in order to fulfill on this goal, let's just say CEO. Let's just say I want to be CEO in 5 years. Mm-hmm. I write that piece down. Then I write some action statements behind it. Mm-hmm. I need to have this conversation. I need to go to my board, or I need to go to my current CEO and ask them for the feedback. Mm-hmm. Just writing that piece down. Mm-hmm. Next piece there is to get an accountability partner. Mm-hmm. Someone that says, hey, Mike, I want to be CEO in 5 years. I want to talk with you over the next 5 years about how I'm doing, what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. Just bounce ideas off you, mm-hmm. right? Last piece, and this is the one differentiator that is less talked about and less utilized, but it has the most impact, is to have regular updates. I send you, Mike, hey, it's been 3 months. I'm going to tell you where I'm at inside of my progression. Mm-hmm. This is something that we use inside of our executive coaching too, is we say, all right, you're going to do these things over the next month. Send me updates. I'll be your accountability partner. And I can't tell you every single person that does it, I can't tell you how valuable it is for them. So real quick here, the stats on that survey, it was like the question was, how satisfied were you with your goal setting?
Yeah.
And it was a simple study, but it was like 4.6 for people that just thought about their goals. Mm-hmm. And then it was like 7.8 for those that did all five of those pieces. They thought about the idea, they wrote it down, action statements, accountability partner, and then regular updates. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a significant increase there about how to orient towards your next goal there. It's those simple pieces.
Checks and balances along the way to keep you in line to get to your to those goals. Because it's really easy to state something like, yeah, I want to lose weight in 2015. Well, you got to be a little bit more specific. I want to lose 35 pounds, or I want to lose 20 pounds. So the, like you said, the more specific you are and then write it down, the more likely it is to get done. Very good stuff. So what about like taking like specific class? I mean, like I'm thinking about the next top credit union executive contest going on right now. That's a great step for young credit union professionals to take, to really get outside their comfort zone and make a step toward this as well. Because I mean that's a very timely thing, because that's happening right now.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, CUES has their CEO Institute. CUNA has their CUNA Management Schools. NAFQ has their Management Leadership Institute. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They all cater to different, the same audience, I'll say, but they have different values mm-hmm. in them. One of the primary things I'll say that is important for boards when they're looking at CEO candidates is that they did something. They went out there and they did it and they learned and they made the most of it. Mm-hmm. Talked with a candidate the other day that went to one of those programs, the first year of one of those programs, and he was like, it was good, but, you know, no, I'm not sure. You know, he was well-established guy, individual there. Yeah. And really the way that I encouraged him and others to look at it is like, go to the program and just make the most of it. Yeah. You're going to get in what you put out. Mm-hmm. Let's say that maybe it's not the most dynamic, whatever, the audience or your peers aren't at your same level. It's because you are not looking at it in such a way that you can take the most advantage mm-hmm. of it. Mm-hmm. Do the project and just blow everything out of the proportion.
Yeah.
Right? Just make the most of it and really learn something for yourself. That's what we say. So there's programs out there. There's even banking programs that I recommend to certain candidates to go to it. We don't always have to stay inside of our credit union industry. It's great. We do a lot of good things, but really, we don't know everything. Mm-hmm. We really don't know everything. Yeah. And as soon as we start admitting that, we can actually become more dynamic.
Nice. And so what's the difference between today's leader or the incoming leadership compared to the established executives who are now retiring that have been in their position for 20, 30 years? Is there a difference, or is it pretty much the same type of folks coming in, or what's in
the CEO role? We'll talk about
that. Yeah, what are the differences with people coming in and between the people going out?
Right. Yeah. So up until, I would say, the last number of years, the last couple of years mm-hmm. with the economic recession really winding down and organizations growing, there was a real strong desire to have that financial acumen. And so though, when I started in this business in 2000, from 2000 to 2010, let's say, there was that CFO, you know, they almost thought that they were going to get the job just by you know, being in that CFO title or that CFO role.
Yeah.
And, you know, around 2008, for some organizations that were really well prepared, and especially today, you know, credit unions recovered, they're well back there, all of that. We're looking for a whole different kind of skill set. Having the financials down, of course, is important, but really we're actually seeing marketing officers, people that come from a marketing background, retail. We're seeing IT-oriented people that have that kind of discipline, that hard skill. And really, it has us as recruiters, when we work with boards, has us take a step back and go, are you hiring the hard skill or are you hiring the leader? And so now what my recommendation to people today is, don't lean on your hard skills as much as your predecessor did.
Yeah.
You got to really look at, what have you done to lead a team?
Right.
When I look at resumes, for example, for CEO positions, if it's only about what they did and not about what the team did, it tells me about how that person orients. Mm-hmm. It tells me that the position that they may be best suited for is an organization that has good leaders already.
Great advice. I mean, and what executive like tasks or responsibilities do they have to be ready for today in today's credit union that maybe their predecessors didn't? I mean, like you said, I mean, you're looking for leadership, not necessarily hard skills, because you can always hire the hard skill people, but leadership, man, that's something they're almost born with, but you can learn stuff. But I mean, so what are some of the tasks and stuff that today's new leader should have that maybe the predecessors didn't?
Yeah, so just as timely, so last weekend we did a strategic planning session for a billion-dollar organization, extremely successful by many measures.
Yeah.
And what they're talking about, the board and the management team are talking about, is going totally, now I'm not going to say different, but planning at a totally more, what's the word, sophisticated, exponential kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the tasks or skills that's required of the executives today is becoming more finite or specific and strategic. Really thinking bigger, thinking longer term, 10, 15 years, being unshackle themselves from the traditional model. Take a look at, really, what do we do well? Don't assume we do everything well.
Yeah.
A lot of boards, they'll say, well, we're great at customer service. Well, and the credit union down the street from you is saying the same thing.
Yeah.
But what do we really do well? What are we excited about? And maybe that is not the same thing that we need to do in the future. Maybe we need to be better at something else in order to get to that next spot.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say, short answer, get better at our strategic planning skills. Get someone in there that is smarter than you to help facilitate the conversation or has done different things. I'm not saying I'm smarter than everyone. Let me just
come on, Peter.
Just facilitate from a real rigorous conversation about what's important. And I'll say one thing. This is to the boards and CEOs out there. Strategic planning is not a one day or even a weekend event.
Yeah.
It's a multi-month process there. So
that's
just go ahead and walk away with that.
Well, the reason why I asked that question is because not only is like technology changing at the blink of an eye, but I mean like work processes and just the industry in general, everything seems to be changing at a much more rapid pace today than it did, you know, maybe 20 or 30 years ago. I mean, so it sounds like you have to be an extremely flexible and adaptable person, open to new ideas and all sorts of stuff that's coming down the turnpike that you didn't see yesterday. I mean,
absolutely.
That's how fast it is.
Absolutely. Some executives, I'll say some CEOs, they have an orientation where, gosh, everything's changing so fast, I'm just going to wait till the dust settles. Well, the dust isn't going to settle. I mean, just by definition of everything changing so fast, I mean, it's just the new norm is the dust not settling.
Exactly.
Right?
Great point. Yeah.
Pick something that works. Pick something that's good enough. Let's move forward and let's really have the expectation from the get-go that, look, it may not be everything for the next 10 years, right? This core provider, for example, may not do everything we need for the next 10 years, but we won't know what we want in 10 years. We may know where we want to go, but how exactly it's going to work out.
Yep.
Look, we need to move forward. I say it's better to move forward with something than nothing.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Another thing I was thinking about when I was writing down the questions and stuff was like, do you think this is a scary time for credit unions or an exciting time for credit unions? Because the industry is a conservative lot looking at the bigger picture. But I think in the last few years, we're kind of breaking out of that conservative mold and really pushing the envelope in a lot of places. So, I mean, is this a scary thing or an exciting thing for them?
Yeah. It's kind of that the way I look at it is it's really the same thing.
Oh.
You know, if your goal is not scary, meaning if we just go 5%, you know, no one's going to get excited about
that. That's true. That is true.
But when we push beyond our normal realm of goal setting, and I'm saying longer term, not like 1 year operational plan, but maybe 5 or 3 years sometimes.
Yeah.
And we put something out there that's a little bit more outstanding, then it brings us a little fear. Then maybe we just hit the right spot.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And really what, you know, the executives are really calling for is rallying or galvanizing around some ambitious goal. If we have something that's marginal, we're not going to work the extra hours for a marginal goal.
Right. Yeah.
We're going to work the extra hours, or we're going to put forth the effort for something that's really exciting, so much so that it's a little scary.
Yeah.
I say it's the same kind of thing.
You said
earlier 35 pounds, right?
Yeah.
You know, put something out there that's going to get you off the couch, right? Put a goal out there. Do a triathlon. That's what I did a number of years ago. It's like, I'm going to do a triathlon.
Good for you.
I'm not a competitive swimmer. I mean, I grew up with a pool,
yeah.
right? You know, and I have a mountain bike, but you know, I'm going to do it, and it's a little bit scary, and you know, you jump in the water at first, and you're a little bit like, you know, but it's like, it motivates.
Yeah, totally. Totally. All right, sir, to wrap up here, I mean, what closing advice do you have for would-be executives out there taking a spot at a credit union today? Because, I mean, again, like we said before, this is an ever-changing, even a rapidly ever-changing industry. What final advice do you have for folks out there looking to take that top spot at the credit union?
I would say that if you want to be a CEO, you need to go to those peers of yours in your organization that are your most difficult customers. The ones that when you're in meetings, you're like, man, like this. You need to go to them and you need to ask them for specific feedback. You need to ask them for relentless feedback about what would it take or what do they see in you in order to actually follow you and subscribe to your vision. I mean, that's kind of scary.
Yeah.
For those that are watching this, they already have a picture of who that person is in their mind.
Yeah.
And so go to that person and ask them feedback. If you really want to get to the heart of the situation, go ask those people.
Nice. Nice message to end on, Peter. Thank you so much. I love this stuff. It's so exciting. I mean, it is exciting. We are living an exciting time. So this is cool stuff.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity. I always enjoy chatting with you, Mike. And yeah. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anytime, sir. Anytime.